So this week, we are starting a new, we're going back into Ephesians. We've been out of Ephesians since November. We're heading back in. I love the book of Ephesians. And we're coming up on really my favorite parts of this entire book, because Paul is digging into our relationship with each other and then our relationship with the world, really, is what he's digging into as he wraps up the book of Ephesians. And these next few weeks, he's going to be talking to us about living together in community and what that looks like. And this series, we've titled it Family Matters. Family Matters. Because do you guys remember that old show from like the late 80s, early 90s, Family Matters? I mean, was family? Yes, you do. Steve Urkel, right? Steve Urkel, And he's so funny until he comes back and he's like not Steve Urkel anymore. He's Steve's hot cousin, right? Just saying, okay? Can't go back and watch reruns. I'm too old to think that he's his hot cousin. But anyhow, family matters. And this is why, moving right along. Because really, when we step into relationship with Jesus, we all become family, right? Because we're told that we become heirs with Jesus to the inheritance of Father God. That means we're brothers and sisters with one Father, Father God. So we're all part of one family. And you know what? Sometimes family gets messy. Sometimes we have to deal with some issues among family. And I think I told you, like around my house, we used to call it a family meeting, right? When there was issues in family. And so Paul kind of comes up to this portion in Ephesians where he's like, hey guys, we're all family. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. And he's going to go into detail about different parts, pieces, people in the family and what it looks like to live together. He's going to address wives. He's going to address husbands. He's going to address children and parents. He's going to address employees and employers, all in these next chapter and a half, okay? And he just finished in chapter 5 giving us guardrails for our own lives as we're walking with Jesus. And he begins the next section like this. This is what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 21. So as soon as he says, like, look out for this, don't do this, like, keep this in mind. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Listen, Paul just laid down the gauntlet right there. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. How many of you, that word just rubs you the wrong way? That word submit. Oh, someone's honest. She's like, yeah, it rubs me the wrong way. Okay, so Paul starts this next section saying, as a family, we have to submit to each other. Let's clear the air a little bit right now. Because I want to just go into a definition. I want to hear what Merriam-Webster, the father of words, right, how he defines the word submit, because I think it's a really misunderstood, misconstrued, and manipulated word. It is, okay? Here's what Merriam-Webster says about the word submit. Stop trying to fight or resist something. To stop trying to fight or resist something, or to yield to governance or authority. This is all Paul is saying. Just keep that definition right there, Jaden. Let it sink in. You might want to like write this down, right? In order to have healthy relationships, we have to stop fighting and resisting each other. Right? In order to have healthy relationships, we have to stop fighting and resisting each other, and we have to be willing to yield to people who are put in authority over us. Plain and simple. Stop fighting and resisting each other and yield to the authority put over us. That is so easy to say, right? It is so easy for me to read this definition to you. It's a little harder to put it into practice, right? Especially when we get to today's chunk of scripture, okay? Right? Because people, especially Americans, are rebellious, stubborn, and don't like to be told what to do. Right? Also, to take it a little bit further, it has been said, now you know that Jason and I have connections because we've kind of been all over the place. And it has been said to us that Oregonians especially, right, are known for not wanting to be told what to do. Well, here's the problem. I'm an American, and I'm a native Oregonian, so don't tell me what to do. That's actually the title of today's message. Don't tell me what to do. And the reason I titled it this is because it's kind of a mantra in our family. Like, anytime one of us feels like we're getting bossed around, our first response is like, don't tell me what to do. I'm just being real with you. I'm just saying our family in general, not your marriage, front row, noisemaker, okay? Our first response, like if I feel like I'm being bossed in any way, not just from Jason, he doesn't really try to boss me too much, okay? But from anyone, my first response is, don't tell me what to do, or you're not the boss of me. Right? You're not the boss of me. It's like my knee-jerk reaction, okay? And so it's why for so many years, before I came into an understanding of what I'm about ready to share with you, this portion of scripture made me want to actually knee Paul in the, okay? I really didn't like Paul very much for saying this. I'm like, whatever. You're not even married, so be quiet. That's how I felt. You guys know that Paul never got married? Because probably if he did, his wife would have kicked him. He just said things. Like, whatever came to his mind, he said it. Okay? But the problem is this, is that that word submission has been so misconstrued over the years and misinterpreted for as long as I can remember. I remember this word being used as my brother standing over one of his dogs and holding onto its throat and saying, submit, right? I remember that. It's like burned in my memory. Like, ew, I'm not a dog. I'm not submitting to anybody. Because I remember my brother doing that, submit. I also can remember countless times of pastors in my life standing right where I am and saying to the women and the wives in the congregation, you need to submit to your husbands. Just like that. Right? And I was like, mm-mm. As a matter of fact, when I got married to Jason, our wedding was really non-traditional in every sense of the word for the time that we got married in 1996, to the fact that one of my mom's friends leaned over to the person next to her and said, are these kids even Christians? And I said to Jason's dad, who was marrying us, do not say the word obey in my wedding vows. when you're talking about me and Jason, don't say that I need to obey him. Because that's, I'm not saying that. And he looked at me and I'm like, I won't. Don't tell me what to do, right? And it's because of those examples in my life that the word and the idea of submission has felt really offensive and controlling and manipulative. But I want to tell you something, that's not God's plan. That's not how God intended us to view this idea of submitting to each other and submitting to authority. God's plan was for us to recognize the flow of spiritual authority and to work together to achieve harmony and strength together. Did you hear that? God's plan is for us to recognize the flow of spiritual authority and for us to work together to achieve harmony and strength. And over the next few weeks, we're going to really dive into what holy, healthy submission looks like in our relationships. And today, we're going to look at these next three verses, and I'm going to share with you my journey to understanding submission and what that looks like in our marriage and in our relationship. So here we are in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. And it says this, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything." Now, let me go back to something. These three verses are the very verses that I heard misused, misconstrued on countless times as I was a kid, teenager growing up. Because it was all about, like, wives, be quiet. Women, be quiet. Women, there's no room for your voice. And it was spoken over and over and over again. Shh. You submit and you let the men do the talking. It's like this uncomfortable, like, does anybody feel me? Huh? That is not at all what God was saying through Paul here at all. Because submission is not meant to be some chauvinistic act of men flexing themselves in power over women. That is not what God meant at all. Submission was never chauvinistic because the God I serve created woman out of man's side and created them to be a helper together, to walk forward together, not with him ruling over her, but as a helpmate. So where did this come from? Where did this come from? As a matter of fact, for me personally, this turned into a fight in my own life as a newly married woman in my relationship with Jason. To the fact so much that not only am I not going to obey you, but I'm going to control you. Ooh. Come on, wait a minute. Hang on. Listen. I just heard someone say, go there. Because women, when you have been thrown this verse and this verse has been misused over and over in your time, there's this bitterness, there's this unforgiveness that sets in, and all of a sudden a false protector called control can step in, and you become the manipulative, the mouthy, controlling one. And not only could no one be the boss of me, I'm going to be the boss of you. And that's how it was. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. And there, like, Jason and I would butt heads because anytime he would just offer a suggestion in life, I'd be like, you are not the boss of me. Now go take out the garbage.
And it didn't work.
Okay? I had such a skewed understanding of this passage. And I had, guys, I'm ashamed to admit it, I was so angry at Paul, the writer of the book. I was so angry that I was angry for any, what's the matter? Thank you. Okay, I guess I was holding the microphone wrong. Okay? Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to hold the microphone. Just kidding. I was angry at Paul, and I was angry at any other man that I felt would try to have some perceived control over me. And I understood part of the spiritual principle that husbands are responsible for the security and provision of their family. But I was missing a key piece here. I was missing a key piece. And I didn't learn that piece until Jason and I had been married for almost 10 years. And I met this beautiful couple named Don and Carolyn. And Don and Carolyn were living in Springfield, Missouri at the same time we were. They were both in their 60s, early 60s. And they kind of became our mom and dad away from home when we lived in Springfield, Missouri. And Carolyn was a strong, fierce, knowledgeable woman of God. And Don was very soft-spoken. He was a man of little words. And really, I looked at this like, yeah, that's exactly how I want my marriage to be. Until this time, we had an ice storm that swept through Springfield and knocked out our power for 4 days. Jason was out of town. He was stuck in the Valley of Sun. You want to help me preach today? You can. And Don and Carolyn actually lived right next to somebody who worked for the power company, and their, like, transformer for their neighborhood was the very first one to get worked on out of the hundreds in the area that were out. And so they said, Paula, get the kids and come over here. You're going to stay with us. So I packed up the kids and I came over there. And we just got to talking one afternoon about purchasing a new car. Just came up. And Carolyn and Don were talking about, like, purchasing a new car. And Don thought this was a great idea and that's what we should do. And Carolyn was like, I don't really think we need a new car. And the one we have is great. It's only a couple of years old. And Don again said, yeah, but this one has this and this and this. And this is what Carolyn said. Well, you know what? You're the head of this home. And this decision isn't going to, like, negatively, like, affect our existence as far as, like, it's not a matter of life and death. So I can disagree with you. And ultimately, if it's a wrong choice, it's on you. Okay, do you see how my mouth, I was like, what? And I said, tell me more about this, what just happened. What just happened right here? And she said, you know what, Paula? Don is the leader of our home. He gives identity to our home. He's the provider for our home. And you know what? If I don't necessarily agree, I'm going to voice my opinion, but if it's not something that I feel like I have to like lay down and like I'm dying on this hill, if I don't agree with him, ultimately the outcomes of it rests on him as the leader of the home. And I'm free. I don't have to carry it. And I kind of, I didn't understand that at all. And all of a sudden, these whole ideas that I had misunderstood, that the word submission had been so misconstrued in my mind, that I could see this powerful, knowledgeable, educated woman completely submitting just to the authority in her home and being like, I don't agree with it, but go ahead. If you feel like it's the right decision, go ahead. Because you're going to have to answer for it if it's not right. And so I understood at that point, like, this very first thing, submission actually brings freedom. When we submit to people in our lives, we become free. Jason, come up here for a minute. Just do it right now, please. I just want you to stand back to back with me for a minute. I want you to look at the difference between, I mean, our butts don't even, like, I'm so short. Look at the difference between mine and Jason. Not here. Jeez. Look at the difference between mine and Jason's shoulders. Okay? I'm even, like, more fluffy than I used to be. And my shoulders are still not as wide as his, right? Thank you.
Sure.
And here's why. God created him to carry a bigger load than I carry. God created him for that. And when I try to carry more than God intended me to carry, I become worried. I become contentious. I become really cranky. I get stomach ulcers. Because God created Jason to carry a bigger amount of responsibility over our household, over our home, over our marriage. And when I came into understanding that submission actually brings freedom, I'm going to tell you, I unloaded a great big burden onto him. There has been multiple times in our marriage since then that there's been things that we haven't seen eye to eye on. Like, you're going to pay for that with a credit card? I don't think you should pay for that with a credit card. Well, I'm going to because I was to do this. Well, you know what? Not my monkey, not my circus. You have to hold, you're responsible for it. I don't think you should do it, but you go ahead. Right? You want to buy that car? I don't think we need a new car. Well, I think this is a great car. I don't think so. You know what? If you think it's a good deal, go ahead. Some of them have been fantastic. Some of them haven't. But I'm going to tell you something. I haven't felt one piece of that load. Because I came into understanding that submission brings freedom. I don't have to fight him on everything that comes up. Even if I don't agree with it, I don't have to fight him. Because God put him in a position of spiritual authority over our home. He gives identity to our home. He gives provision to our home. He gives protection to our home. And when I get in the way of that, then the flow is completely stopped. Right? But here's the next thing, too, is submission is not blind obedience. Submission does bring freedom, but submission is not blind obedience. Okay, when we're submitting to each other, wives, when we're submitting to our husbands, that doesn't mean just because we don't agree on something and we think this way and he thinks this way, that we have to be like, well, okay, I guess I have to submit. That's not what that means at all. As a matter of fact, there has been a couple of times that I don't agree with Jason. And I knew that what Jason was thinking about doing was going to negatively affect me and my children. And guess what I did? I said, no. Nope, not doing it. No, I'm not doing that. And at that point, if I'm wrong, guess what? It's on me. It's on me. But if, ladies, if we feel like this is not okay, this goes completely against everything in my spirit of what God is telling me, what is right, da, 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 da. Paul is not saying that you have to just blindly obey your husband. And there has been a couple of times when I just could not do it. And I said no. And you know what? It was the right thing. Even Jesus, it was. It was the right thing. But there's way more times, once I realized that submission brings freedom, there's way more times that I haven't agreed with something that I've just been like, okay, go ahead. Then I've said, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. And the last thing I want us to understand is this, that submission is given, not commanded. Okay? Like I shared, there's times that I've really struggled with this concept. But Jason never once in that time said, Paula, you're not submitting to me as the wife. No, right? No way. He never once said that. Because you know what? I probably would have hired a hitman if he would have said that to me. Okay? He was actually super quiet and just kind of endured my rebellion and just had his own little rebellion against my bossiness, because that's how my rebellion looked like. I was like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do, right? He let God speak to me, but guess what? It didn't happen overnight. Because something had to happen. I had to learn to trust Jason. Guys, listen to this. I had to learn to trust him that he would make good decisions. I had to learn to trust him that he was putting me first and putting our kids first above his own desires and his own insecurities. I had to trust him. He had to earn that trust. Man, I want to tell you something. Your wives have to experience that you have the ability to love them and protect them. And as you hear about next week's message, that you're going to lay down your life for them before they're ever going to be comfortable with just relinquishing their disapproval. Do you hear me? Submission is not commanded. Submission is freely given. It's something we do because we love each other. Yes, Paul's talking in these three verses specifically towards wives. But he started the whole the whole passage with submit to each other. Submission is not commanded of each other, it's given. It's something we freely give because we trust the other person. Jason had to earn my trust and me knowing that he would never do anything intentionally to bring me harm or discomfort. I had to learn to trust him in that. Once I trusted that about him, relinquishing control over every decision and situation was so easy. I don't have to control it because I trust Jason. Men, submission is something that you earn because your wife has learned that nothing in his world is more important than you. And she learns that by what you do and what you say and how you act and how you lead. And it doesn't happen on the wedding day. It doesn't. I would love to say that if you're walking right now in a relationship where you're dating, you're engaged, you're soon to be married, you're learning these things, and on the wedding day, like, there's going to be this supernatural mantle that falls on the husband, and he's now going to be this bold, strong leader for you, and the wife's going to be like, I trust you with my life. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. It takes time. It takes years. Right? It takes years to build that trust in each other, that you have each other's best interests. Because just as much as wives have to submit to husbands, husbands have to submit to wives, because Paul said we have to submit to each other. Ooh. Husbands just has a little bit more of responsibility because God has put them in a spiritual position as a leader over their homes. Right? It's not a bad word, but it's a hard word. It's something that I still struggle with at times. And you know what? When those struggles come, I let Holy Spirit talk to me. And when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And when I'm right, Jason says I'm right. But I wanted to open up this whole series on submission by saying, like, I'm the poster child for how you get from one side to the other. And it's safe over here. I promise. It's safe. You don't have to be afraid of it. Can we pray together? Father, I know that today's message can hit hard. This idea of relinquishing control, relinquishing our own ideas, our own thoughts of how things should work, is really hard for us. But I also recognize that it must be important to you, otherwise you wouldn't have said it so many times in your word. And in order for us to live together as a family, we have to learn to stop fighting each other. And we have to learn to work for harmony and strength. Help us to recognize those areas. And right now, I'm just asking everyone to keep their eyes closed. Some of you in this room, you might be saying, like, you are speaking a foreign language to me. And maybe that's because submitting to your husband or to your friend, your wife, whoever, that's not the first thing you have to do. The first thing you have to do is recognize that you need to submit to Jesus. and stop living for yourself. If that's you in this room today, I just want to pray with you. If you're saying, like, I recognize, like, I am not even listening to Jesus leading my life, let alone somebody else giving me some direction. But today I want to do that. I want to start right there. If that's you, it's just me looking around. Will you just raise your hand? Like, I need to submit to Jesus. Thank you. Come on. So good. I'm just going to invite everyone to stand with us. And my one friend that raised their hand, Jess is sitting in the back, right under the words that say next steps. And as you walk out today, I just want you to stop and see Jess. She's going to pray with you. She has a Bible to give to you and just to talk to you about what it might be next. But let's all pray together. Jesus, we need you. You're the boss. When I try to boss myself, I go wrong. I submit my life to you. I don't want to try and control it anymore. I trust you. If you're in this room and you're like, I need help, I need you to pray with me because this is a hard, hard thing for me to do. Let's just be real. Everyone just raise your hand if that's you. Like, this is a hard thing. Yeah. Yeah. My hand's up too. Father, right now you see each and every hand that is up. And I recognize, and everyone else that raised their hand recognize, that it's really hard to trust with our decisions, to trust other people with our safety, with our security. But God, right now, as we walk out of this place today, I just ask that you remind us each and every day of people you have put in our lives that are safe, that can be trusted, and even that you'll give us opportunities to practice submitting to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that you all hate me because of that prayer, I just ask that Jesus will give you opportunity to submit this week. But I think that honestly, leaving this place, we should look for opportunities to submit to each other every day, right? Love you guys. We will see you next week.
De los dichos de mi boca nunca cesarán los tuyos, y lo digo con orgullo que eres todo para mí. El motivo de mi canto es solo únicamente tuyo, y si cesara tu gracia ya no tendría que escribir.